Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember. Yeah.
You do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
First dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? My dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Want to join a film club that has real frank discussions talking about films that you actually want to watch?
Well, then look no further, because we are Frank Film Club with me, Maisie Williams. And each week we watch a film and then come together and obsess over it, or sometimes absolutely slate it. Either way, there's always a lot to say. And the films that we pick range all the way from like 90s and noughties classics all the way up to new releases that are coming out every single week. And sometimes we get our listeners to pick for us.
And we all work in the film industry, don't we, ladies?
Indeed.
So we really love to look at specifically how a film was made.
So if this sounds like your bag, then come and have a listen to Frank Film Club. And remember, absolutely everyone is welcome in this club.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Southgate, you're the one. You still turn me on. Welcome to the Football Ramble. It's Wednesday, the 13th of October. I'm Kate Mason.
I'm Andy Brassel.
And I'm Jim Campbell.
Not relevant, some would say. I say it's always relevant. Even after a 1-1 draw with Hungary.
It's especially relevant after a 1-1 draw with Hungary.
Yeah. Obviously, we're all still into him when he gives us a big win.
Yeah.
This is where you show your dedication, isn't it?
That's exactly right.
This is the where, you know, your marriage vows kick in, essentially.
Because we're not plastic fans. We're not just turning up and expecting to pay for wins.
Of course not. No, we've got to drudge through this occasionally. And rather here than at a tournament, right?
Yeah, great point.
Yeah, I mean, this is more he's got you an underwhelming birthday present rather than he's missed a dinner date, come home from the pub with sickle down him. It's not quite that, is it?
No. Wait, so you'd say that's worse, the sick one?
Definitely.
Yeah.
Whereas I would say, you know, your birthday is quite important. So if you haven't, at least the one with the sick is just like a cock up and he's had a good time and you're pleased about that. Whereas the birthday thing, he's like not prepared for your birthday.
Or
doesn't know you well enough to get you a good birthday present. Yeah.
England
that says quite a lot more about what he knows, feels about you.
I hope you're listening to this, Gary.
England tournament games often fall on my actual birthday and they have ruined it more than once. So there is precedent there.
That's really sad to hear.
Yeah.
Do they actually? Yeah, I guess they would.
Yeah.
Sorry, mate.
Phil Neville, Euro 2000.
He's always underwhelming, isn't he? But we've already devoted a podcast to him this week, so we should probably move on and talk about the internationals. We'll get into Scotland as well. Congratulations, you actually managed to win. England drew, though, 1-1 with Hungary. Lovely little John Stones goal. But, mate, guys, so me and Brass went to this, as you know, Jim, which was really fun, to be honest.
It was.
The great thing about a sort of underwhelming game is that if you're actually there, it's just what it's all about. So you just feel good about it anyway most of the time.
Yeah, it's true.
We'll talk about the disruption in the Hungary end, but we were quite far from it. So that's more like a reaction to what we've read about it subsequently and what
we saw some of it.
Yeah, but it wasn't
nearby. Nothing groundbreaking that you won't have read anywhere else.
Yeah, that's a great point. Although, anyway, we shouldn't say we're going to offer that on the ramble generally. You're making me worried here. But the point is, when you, and I'm sure you too, Jim, when you saw the team sheet, you thought, this is going to be a fucking barn burner.
Going for it, yeah.
This is great. Look at that attacking threat.
Yeah, and it didn't quite play out that way, did it? I think, you know, the penalty was annoying and unfortunate, but those things do happen. Even good, experienced players are going to sort of give away a silly or accidental penalty sometimes. But yeah, I felt like, I really thought once John Stones equalised that England would regroup in the second half and just be a bit more incisive, but it just didn't quite happen.
Same.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I feel like a lot's been made of Jack Grealish being taken off on the hour, which my friend and I actually predicted while we were watching it. And it's a shame that, you know, there are predictability is kind of seeping back into England. And I know, you know, it's only one game, so that might be a little bit alarmist. But the thing with Grealish was I guess his influence was starting to wane a tiny bit, but he was probably still England's most positive force because he's like a light in a blind alley, isn't he? He just moves the ball forward. He advances you up the pitch. And even if it's not necessarily coming off for him every single time, he finds those weird little bits of space that you wouldn't expect someone could even get anything out of. And then suddenly he's making stuff happen. Even
and that's
if he's
the thing that
free
England
kicks and corners,
struggled the most with,
exactly,
wasn't it?
Exactly.
They weren't moving the ball at pace at all. And Hungary had plenty of time to get set, and in the back end of the game, that's manifested by the defence attempting to just push it over the top of Hungary's
which
defense.
I thought actually Phil Foden was doing really, really well. His laser guided long passing is looking more and more like a weapon, but it wasn't quite coming off. But I think when you've got Grealish, Mount, Foden, Sterling as well on the pitch in a situation like that where Hungary seemed to have an answer for it every time, move them around a bit, like have them switch positions.
Yeah.
It was all very, very static. Like try Grealish on the right if it's not coming off on the left. Even move him in the middle. All of those players can play wide or in the middle. So just bamboozle them a bit.
Yeah,
I would have liked to have seen that. And it all felt a bit kind of
pedestrian,
and
exactly.
and like static and a bit like the bad old days where it's we've got plan A and it's not working, so let's try plan A more.
Oh, let's not talk about
that. I know that's like, I know that's not
that might be a
general criticism
of
Southgate in general. We've come to expect him to be able to fix problems like that in game, and this time he didn't manage
it. That's not true at all, is it, Jim?
You don't think?
No, I thought the whole point about Southgate is he doesn't fix problems. You know, where were the substitutions in the Euros final? I think, you know, the fact that he actually made a few substitutions and took, let's face it, and took Kane off, which, hard for me to say it, but was absolutely the right decision and a statement move.
Crestfallen as well, didn't he?
Yeah, he was crap. Mm. But, you know, I'm happy to always speak well of Harry Kane, but he was not good.
Yeah. He didn't even do that thing where he just passed the captain's armband to Mason Mount. He didn't do the thing where, you know, I bequeath you this fabled piece of cloth and I must be the one to put it on your arm. I really hate that, actually. I really, really hate that. It's not like pulling Excalibur out the stone, is it? It's just a armband.
Yeah, I anoint you captain. Yeah, it's I'm a bit concerned about Harry Kane because obviously, if we're all expecting him to kind of get out of this slumping form because he's disappointed he didn't get a move. It's very frustrating for him because it's essentially his family's been dragged through the mud as well. He must be incredibly frustrated and not in a good headspace. But if that sort of coincides with a bit of burnout, because he's played so much football, we talk about how there are players like Lewandowski that, you know, that are playing like well into their 30s and they're really, really good. But we also forget about the players like Fernando Torres, who burn out early because they played a lot of football.
Yeah.
Harry Kane could go that way as well. And if that does happen, I don't know who steps in. You know, I don't know if Kane, you know, stops being efficient. I don't know what the plan B is. And again, these are nice problems to have as the only negative you can pick out. But it was a disappointing game, wasn't it, generally?
I just wonder if it's Southgate's sort of passive-aggressive move to I was always right. So, you know, no two holding midfielders. It's not the same. And, you know, because it did seem that had a negative effect on their ability to move the ball quickly in the front half of the field. So I don't know. Maybe he can go back to what he knows now and get less shit for it.
There were the two problems basically were pace of the, we weren't moving the ball around. And then secondly, we didn't seem to be able to find each other. I don't know if it was this wealth of attacking threat. We weren't reading each other.
It was a bit too many cooks.
Yeah. Maybe that's what it was.
If Foden starts out on the left, maybe it's a little bit different as well. Maybe that's something as well. But I don't know. I felt that you're right to say, Kate, that it was good that Southgate made the changes. But by the time he made the changes, Hungary are already set.
Yeah.
You know, they're in their block and they're going to be super difficult to break down. It would have taken a moment of inspiration to score that winning goal. And it just never looked like happening. No. There was never really that little spot there. I did wonder, Raheem Sterling seemed to be warming up a little on the second half. He had a few good runs down the right-hand side. I would have liked to see more of him in the centre because that's really where he made the difference for England during the Euros. But yeah, I felt more than Grealish coming off. Grealish coming off was spoiling potential fun, I think, rather than necessarily... I don't think any objection to that is necessarily based on his performance last night. Whereas Sterling, I felt like he was beginning to get somewhere. Maybe it's all comparative because, you know, England didn't create that many moments.
Yeah.
But yeah, I was a little disappointed to see him come off when he did.
Well, the thing was as well, it felt as though, I think we should probably say that we thought Hungary, I don't know about you, Jim, but I thought Hungary were pretty good. Like they swarmed us most of the first half anyway. And as Brass says, they were set. They knew their jobs. They knew what they were doing. So they created problems. But I did think that he was that they were going to get tired. Because they were following the ball around a lot in the second half.
Yeah.
I thought the opportunity was going to come.
I think in the game in Budapest, though, I think they fell apart. Do you know what I mean? Like the fact England won so comfortably was as much to Hungary having a really bad day at the office as it was to England taking advantage of that and playing quite well. So obviously they were highly motivated to be organised and not do that again. And I think that's clearly played a big part here. I mean, they're really, really happy with the point. And like you say, they just once it was a case of having what we hold, they were just really, really disciplined and we just didn't have enough for it.
Also, well organised were their aggressive fans in the away end. Sort of bizarre. We can see from where we were, so we were sort of opposite, high up from where the away corner was.
Diagonally opposite.
Diagonally opposite, exactly. Yeah. And you could see that there was some sort of... You could see the movement of people. There was some sort of a fight. What the Met have said is that there was a racial slur against a steward, and they went in to arrest the guy and basically weren't able to. I think they got. I'm sure people will have seen the pictures on Twitter and blah blah. They got pushed back out of this section, and they talk about weighted numbers. Yeah, there were weighted numbers, but there weren't that many hungry fans there in total. So it is a bit troubling that they weren't controlled.
The thing is, it's like, it's all well and good for the police to come in and deal with that, but you can't really expect stewards to do that. You know, they're not.
No, they don't have any training.
You can't.
And a lot of them are just like little old people.
Yeah, or like teenagers in some cases. They're just they're just there to ask people to sit in their seats.
And they're left holding the baby again.
In some cases, exactly.
Like a scaled down version of the Euro final, which is a real concern because I think, you know, you were talking, Kate, about when we're on the way up to the stadium. You know, the atmosphere was very different, obviously, from the Euro final. But it does rely on goodwill. quite a lot, doesn't it? Yeah. And compliance. And if you don't get that, I mean, with Hungary, I've always felt, even though it's really difficult, rather than just saying, let's fine, let's ban, there's got to be dialogue. There's got to be education. With Hungary, I'm out on that, actually.
It's not going to come from the top in Hungary, is it?
Let's just kick them out. They're just empowered by a fascist dictator. Yeah. There's no other way of saying it. And their behaviour is just becoming worse and worse and worse. I don't care if it's a minority. It's a very sizable minority, if it is indeed a minority.
And also,
Something has to be done about it. Like the people, never mind the actual football, the people working at the stadium, minimum wage workers shouldn't have to put up with that stuff.
No, I agree. I mean, the argument is always as well that, you know, that punishes fans who've done nothing. But, I mean, yeah, that's part of the pressure it then puts you on to get your house in order, isn't it? You get the pressure from those people.
I don't see how that... Well, yeah, okay, maybe. But as we know, you know, Viktor Orban generally, the idea is he's a football obsessive, and a lot of his use of football and his obsession with football is around... enforcing this style of management.
We were discussing, weren't we, the possibility that maybe that, you know, it's not even football as a propaganda tool. It's far more than that, because he is such a football obsessive. Does it reach a point? I don't know enough about Hungarian politics to know, but does it reach the point where he does that too much? Because we've seen that in other countries where, you know, money's been spent on football as a cheerleader, and just at the expense of like health and education, and that's where it starts to pinch, and that's where you start to get some sort of kickback against that. So maybe it reaches that point. But he's been able to do a lot of what he's been able to do in football. We're not talking about him politically, but in football, completely unchecked, and his politics are starting to bleed into football, and they have been for a long time. So you know, this idea of, oh, well, football and politics, they're not the same thing. Well, firstly, that's wrong.
Everything is political.
Exactly. And secondly, this is a man who has like made football inherently political, whatever your view on that. So that needs to be dealt with by the football authorities.
Yeah.
They've got a real chance to lead, and they never take that chance. It's so frustrating. They talk about football being used as a real sort of force for positivity and for good.
Yeah, but if you specifically want it to be used for, you know, it's great. We are so pleased. Gareth Southgate just had 5 years as England boss. And we talk about that being such a good, powerful tool when he's trying to unite the nation and blah, blah, blah. Viktor Orban's trying to unite the nation too. It's just in a slightly different way. Yeah. We'll doubtless talk more about this in future. Elsewhere in England's group, there was hope that against fellow minnows, Andorra, San Marino might win their first ever competitive match, Jim.
Yeah. They didn't, though, did
they? No, they didn't, actually. But I did hope very, very hard that they would. They've lost their 100th consecutive competitive match since they beat Liechtenstein in 2004.
I really want them to just get that win. The most serene Republic of San Marino. I also really want people to call them that every time, because that is their full name.
They have to be quite serene, I guess, in the context.
I suppose, yeah, you've got to take that one on the chin, haven't you?
Also, I did particularly enjoy on a recent breakdown of all the nations that Cristiano Ronaldo has scored against.
Oh, yeah.
San Marino tweeting back and going, yeah, you haven't scored against us, though, have you?
Oi, oi.
That's great.
Good effort, San Marino. Nice stuff. Faroe Islands also. Well, look, great to see Scotland win. Get that 86th minute Lyndon Dyke scuffed shot straight into the back of the net. Lovely stuff. And they only need 3 points now to make the World Cup playoffs, to get into the World Cup final.
So away against Moldova next, aren't
they? Yeah. So, well, effectively, because they play Moldova and then they play Denmark. Denmark have scored something like 27 goals without reply, and they've already qualified. They've won it. I mean, I suppose that means they could take the night off, but ultimately they basically need, if they want those 2 points, which they do, they need to basically beat Moldova in the next game, and they'll be set.
It's a remarkable qualifying campaign by Denmark, isn't it, by the way?
Yeah.
Absolutely incredible. And, you know, sometimes I think that can help teams that are below elite level. When you have one team that absolutely blazes the group, it gives you an opportunity to split further down, doesn't it?
Mm.
Yeah, it does. But great that Scotland got through, even though it was my beloved Faroe Islands.
Yeah, I like these games. A lot of people hate the fact that, you know, teams are going to the Faroe Islands or San Marino or Andorra or whatever. It just reminds you that these
places
exist.
It's a big local derby, the Faroe Islands against Scotland. Yeah. Come on, people.
It was a tight game, you can tell. There's a lot of emotion involved, so it was difficult. But it's just a reminder that football does include everyone, and that part of the world is these really, really tiny places. And I really like it.
Yeah.
I think we should keep that in the World Cup qualifying and whatnot.
Yeah, Steve Clarke said after the game, it's not always going to be free-flowing, which I think is a fair assessment of what I saw. And I also enjoyed, we're not sure about how he's pronounced, but they've got a player, the Faroe Islands, called Odmar Faroe. Faroe? He came close.
You'll get correspondence on it. I feel pretty sure about
our
that.
Our Faroese listeners, please, we know you're out there because we've spoken to you before. Please do write in, showatfootballramble.com or tweet us. So Scotland just need a win against Moldova and they will guarantee a playoff spot. Exciting stuff elsewhere. Ireland thrashed Qatar 4-0. Callum Robinson with a hat-trick. That is 5 goals in his last 2 games. You see, 2 bouts of COVID has no impact.
I mean, it's funny, isn't it, that Qatar have lost 4-0 to Ireland and 3-0 to Portugal. I bet they miraculously get out of the group stage in 2022.
Yeah, it feels like...
it's just an inevitability, isn't it?
What do you mean? I've seen them play some quite good stuff in the past, obviously, because they won the Asian Cup.
Yeah.
Beat Japan. It's a big team.
Yeah.
So what are you implying, Russ?
It just feels a bit too simple.
That nature will take its course.
It just feels a bit too simple that they'll be this bad on home turf.
All right. Fine. Cristiano Ronaldo scored a hat-trick against Luxembourg, scoring 2 penalties in the first 15. He's now got 9 against Luxembourg. They're mostly scored against any nation, but as we know, he hasn't managed to penetrate the San Marino defence.
No, he hasn't.
So there are still mountains yet for Ronaldo to climb. In fact, apparently only one Luxembourg player has scored more goals in Luxembourg games. Oh no, across the last 40 years than Ronaldo.
Also, João Palhinha did his celebration as well, didn't he? Following on from Andros Townsend.
Yeah, they're all going to do it now. It's getting bloody silly, isn't it?
Carlo Ancelotti was there first. I want that to be recognised. That must be recognised.
Yeah.
A couple of years back.
Yeah, we liked John Stones' celebration as well, didn't we? You think that that's the sort of update that Harry Kane needs?
Yeah, I think it is, because I think Harry Kane's kind of stuck in terms of his celebration. It's somewhere between the Henman fist pump and, you know, the Shearer arm in the air.
Yeah.
I meant to say, actually, by the way, sorry to obsess about him, but it is the first time he's failed to score in a qualifier since September 2017, people. So as a caveat to the kind of general negativity and being like, he should be taken off, the man has been a machine and a servant, and he'll come
undeniable
back.
Decline is what you're saying.
that's what I took from it.
Jesus Christ. Fear not, everybody. The 2020 Nations League hasn't finished yet. I can't understand how that's possible, but there we are. Kazakhstan, Cyprus, Estonia and Moldova will all play their playoffs.
Well, maybe Moldova will rest their team against Scotland then.
It's March next year, by the way, that happens.
Just to be on the safe side.
Marcus is already having sleepless nights in excitement at that coming up. Okay, it's time for pep talks after this. Don't go anywhere.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Hello, I'm Hazel Hayes.
And I'm Sheehan Todd.
And welcome to our brand new podcast, We're Not Fucking Historians. It sounds like I'm saying we're not fucking historians.
Yeah, we're saying we're not experts.
We're not historians ourselves. Not that we're not having sex with historians.
No historians getting fucked on this pod.
Zero historians getting fucked on this podcast. We are, in fact, your alternative guide to Irish history.
Every week we prize open the history books and find a new tale from the Emerald Isle's colourful past. We're exploring Ireland's traditions, its rich heritage, and its long, proud history of being invaded by literally anyone with a boat.
The Vikings were showing up at the monastery going, where's that booty?
The earliest booty call.
It's the booty call you didn't want. 50 Scandinavian Vikings showed up.
Or our biggest celeb, St. Paddy. He says he prayed up to 100 times a day and sometimes during the night.
That's what a 5-year-old would say. I prayed 100 times, I swear. Patrick also said he was fastest in his slippers. He's a fucking Billy bullshitter.
If, like us, you're the kind of person who's interested in history, but not so interested that you'd go read a book about it or listen to actual experts, then this is the show for you.
This is history done differently, with a couple of facts and plenty of crack.
So, join us on our journey through Ireland's past.
Search We're Not Fucking Historians on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And remember,
we're not fucking historians. Sorry, I was far too fast there.
We're Not Fucking Historians is a Stack production
and part of the Acast Creator Network.
And then he would say to me, well, how many drinks did you have? And obviously I'd lie to him. I would say maybe 10, 11 bottles. And he'd be like, 10, 11 bottles? What are you thinking? I'm thinking, if I told him the truth? And that was every hour.
What? Wow. Of course, you can go somewhere if you want to. You're listening to a podcast. Welcome back to the Football Ramble. It's Wednesday, everybody. It is time for Pep Talks.
We are so, so happy.
We're so happy.
We are so happy. Yeah, I'm happy. I'm happy for them.
We are so happy.
I'm so happy, believe me.
We are so happy.
Sit down! Nobody talk! Sit down! Wait! Drink wine and relax!
Yes, send in your quandaries. Yes. And we'll read them out and riff uselessly on them.
We
probably
will. Alex Kindamo from Down Under has been in touch saying, curious to get your thoughts and potential guidance around something that has affected my life since the day I was born. I come from a passionate football family. My father's side of the family are diehard AC Milan fans, whereas on my mother's side, they're all diehard Liverpool fans. And as such, I have grown up as a supporter of both clubs. The justification my family gave me at the time was that both teams play in two different leagues, and so it's okay. This didn't fucking help in the Champions League finals of 2005 and 2007. To this day, I try to watch as many games of both teams, although the time difference is god-awful and is now taking a toll on my sleeping patterns. Mm. Is it finally time to disappoint one side of my family and only continue following one of the two teams? This has been a question I haven't been able to answer for almost 30 years. To finish and add further confusion to the mix, my father's side is Italian and my mother's a Greek. So when international games come around, I also find myself watching the Italian, Greek and Australian games. So,
oh, that's a lot.
It really is, isn't it? You've got so much on your plate there. My advice would be on this. This is advice I've been given from older, wiser people across my life, and I think actually it does stand true. One of the ways to enjoy life, right, is everything in moderation, right?
Mm.
If you have to miss a Liverpool game or an AC Milan game at some point, it's okay. It doesn't make you any less of a fan if you've got to get up at 3 o'clock in the morning to do it. So
tell that to Nick Hornby.
Nick Hornby is an exception, I would say. But also, he lives in the Emirates, doesn't he?
Yeah.
So, you know, it's
I mean, that's one team as well.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
there's less going on there.
Yeah, so I would say that I don't think you have to stop any of this. I think you just have to give yourself a bit of a break.
I would like to offer an alternative view of simply just do what your mum tells you. it's Liverpool, isn't it? I mean...
Yeah, Alex...
Sorry, Milan.
It seems... it seems like you've got yourself into a bit of a pickle. My recommendation would be start a football podcast and then it's kind of work.
So, yeah. Smart.
So you've got to do it. Yeah, or get into like local stuff, like Aussie rules things.
Get into more sport, that's what you're saying.
That is terrible advice. My apologies.
Quit your job, get into every sport. Live in the park if you have to.
Exactly. It's all energy drinks and Pro Plus from here. Lars Sivertsen can hook you up. This one's from Sam. On the subject of sleep on yesterday's show, I'm a bit of an insomniac. Well, yeah, don't get hooked up by Lars in that case. I've sought advice far and wide, but as I can't afford to run a Hoover all night in order to get sleep a la Wayne Rooney, what can I do?
Well, we always thought that Wayne Rooney thing was a bit mad because there's it's white noise, isn't it?
Yes.
You just stick it on your, you get white noise for babies. Oh, that's what I've got, noise for babies.
I mean, you sleep quite badly, don't you, Kate, I think?
Depends.
Yeah, right. I certainly do.
Very much depends.
And I don't know. So if anyone knows, let us know. I'm no help because I
sleep very
sometimes.
Well. I would say have less of a conscience.
I don't know where I've got to go from there.
Finally exposing himself. Nice man Brassel coming out. So
monster.
It's because you're not ruminating on all the terrible things you've done, Brass.
No, it's because I've not done any terrible things. That's what it is.
Well, if you don't have a conscience, how can we be sure?
Yeah, that's a good question. That is a good question.
People say routine, but I don't have one. So likewise, I can't say that I've
Lavender spray on your pillow.
That is nice.
That's a classic. And at least it smells nice if you can't get to sleep.
Recently, I thought that was my favourite herb, but that's obviously an absurd thing to claim because all the other herbs you can eat, right? Lavender. It just smells nice.
I think your favourite herb is a really personal thing.
We definitely can't eat it.
No.
Right,
Oh, well, have you tried?
No, I've never tried it. I'm just, that's what I'm asking.
It's like lavender tea and stuff.
I think one thing you should definitely avoid, which is what
no
I
phones
do.
In bed. Definitely well, yeah, no phones. He's put not, your phone downstairs or some other place.
Not shining a torch into your own
don't
face.
Don't shine a torch
that
into your own
a,
face.
A
that's
routine,
a stupid idea.
Best
everybody
of all your
don't
lives.
Do that.
LeBron James has no electrical items in the bedroom while he's asleep. I mean, I presumably he gets someone to wake him up in the morning because I would need the alarm.
I've got
that's quite a heavy sleeper.
Okay, I actually have got a suggestion. I've bought a normal alarm clock from the olden days. That would be my then you can keep everything away. And yeah, it's a lot more, I don't know.
Well, if Gary Lineker was here, he would say watch Wimbledon in the early 90s because, of course, he famously said about a match between Wimbledon and Leeds that would have been better watched on CFAX.
Wow.
That is such a good
CFAX. Google it.
If you've got any questions for us, however bizarre, send them in. We'll get to them every Wednesday. Or, guys, if you've got a contribution that was more useful than what we managed to come up with, feel free to send that in to show@footballramble.com. Tweet us @footballramble. Now, something that people seem to need help with is this bloody biennial World Cup. And that's what we're going to talk about next. Arsene Wenger ruining his legacy with the desire to turn the World Cup into every two-year thing. The update to this is Adidas's chief executive, Kasper Rorsted, coming out saying he's not into it. Adidas is one of FIFA's main sponsors. And that, Jim, feels like the sort of thing that might actually have quite a big impact.
I mean, it's very rare, isn't it, that a sponsor weighs in on anything like this, but it's especially rare that someone puts a name to it. Actually having a chief executive come out and criticise something within football is... I can't really remember any previous examples of it. I'm sure there are, but none spring to mind. So clearly this is one of the most... I mean, this is as divisive as the European Super League, but it's because it's a global thing. It's hard to know where to direct your ire at, isn't it? And Wenger has said that it's essentially a dialogue. Andy, you were talking about this at length earlier, weren't you?
Yeah, he was talking about it in Paris yesterday, and he said, look, it's not a fait accompli, it's not a me project or anything like that. It's... I want people to discuss it now. It's on the table. And he did finish it with, if anyone's got any better ideas, let's hear them, which is, I guess, slightly more passive aggressive. Yeah. He claims he has medical evidence which suggests, for example, Leo Messi would do half as many air miles.
Yeah. I mean, one of the things about it that is interesting that I think maybe potentially should be explored is this idea of essentially doing the qualification all in one chunk so that you don't have this mad situation where it is split up all over the years and years and all this air travel.
But that doesn't mean
it has to be every two
years. Exactly. Yeah. Why does it need to turn into this every 2 year thing in order to improve it? That's what I can't understand from what Feng is saying.
Well, at the moment,
Try and make it better with what it is right
Absolutely.
Now. Just at, improve that.
At the moment, you've got the situation where if this were to come into force, it would clash with Euro 2028. So you've got a war brewing between FIFA and UEFA, which is always happening anyway. Exactly, yeah, this might be the point of this. But also, you've got the absolutely absurd FIFA Club World Cup idea, which isn't going away, which is going to be a 24-team World Cup-style tournament in the summer. So it's... Are they essentially looking at a situation where there are going to be no summers free of football for top-level players? I mean, we've seen Thibaut Courtois very frustrated talking about this recently and how there's just no rest for the players. And what will happen, unless squads get significantly bigger, which favours the big clubs more than it already does, then you're just going to have lots of injuries all the time. So these tournaments are going to be missing an Mbappe or a Kane or a whoever, and it's going to be worse off for it.
Even if there are bigger squads... The other players have still got to be there. They're not on holiday.
Of course.
I mean, we saw that yesterday, didn't we, with the story that there's going to be 1 week between the season stoppage in November next year and the first game of the World Cup. Not the first day of training camp, the first game of the World Cup.
You might get a little knock and you miss the squad because it's like...
We're going to see a lot
for 3 weeks.
A lot of red cards, aren't we?
Yeah, that red zone is going to be crazy.
I would just not make any tackles for the whole of the second half of October and November.
Yeah. It's a real extension
of
the Christmas Day thing, isn't it? Of trying to get Christmas.
So are we saying that Kevin Nolan is going to captain England to the 2022 World Cup?
I'm behind him.
Yeah.
As I can see, you are, Brass.
Very much so.
Yeah, he said, he went on to say another interesting thing I thought on this Rosted article argument was he was on about the Super League and he said, oh, financially, that'll probably be attractive for us. In the long term, however, we believe that love for sport from childhood arises from having access and is something tangible. So I don't know. I guess maybe also he's trying to be like Adidas are the good guys here.
It's such bollocks. But that's bollocks, though, isn't it? Like the idea that kids are going to stop getting into football. Like, we keep hearing this a lot. It's like,
no, but I think the argument he's making, what he's trying to say is, I think I'm on the side of football.
I'm on the side of
sport. And the point is that you want people to be able to go and see elite level football if you can, although you might argue that they can't anymore anyway because it's too bloody expensive.
I misunderstood what you were saying there. And you're right, Casper Rosted is on the side of that. But I guess I'm making a slightly different point there, which is that we hear it from FIFA a lot, like that. This idea that there's danger that like young people are stopped going to get into football and football's going to wane in popularity. It's the most popular sport in the world with nothing really challenging it. It's such gaslighting.
On the other side of the coin, Jim, there is nothing I think that middle-aged to slightly elderly men know better than what young people are into.
I know, it's really good how they're in charge of that everywhere, isn't it? I like that because it's important that they should tell the younger people.
And those young people's opinions will never change.
Yeah. It's good. I mean, I think another point that we haven't really made about this World Cup thing, although it's implicit, I guess, is that there are other sports too. I know we're not going to be telling you about them too much, but it is important.
To not smother them, right?
Yeah, exactly. You know, the Olympics are important. People getting a chance to watch lots of cricket is important.
That is the problem, isn't it, with this proposed idea of an international window, which, as Jim said, I think has got great merit. You know, maybe playing all the qualifications together or whatever. The idea that football clubs, elite-level football clubs, are willingly going to give up like a month or 6 weeks of social media traffic. It's not happening, is it? It's just not happening.
Oh, God.
Less is more.
Wenger generally is strange. This strange regeneration is like the bad man of football. It's really something uncomfortable to me. He's returning. There's a big splash. I don't know if you saw he's returning to management for one game only. Yes, he's taking charge of a Saudi Arabian dream team that will face PSG in January.
Yeah, taking the money, isn't he?
Well, I don't know. I was going to say I don't really blame people for taking the money. It just seems like a shame on top of all of these things. When you think of him as this like pure guy who cares about the good of football, it just feels a bit uncomfortable. Okay, before we get out of here, over in France, there's been... Oh, this is a bit of a sad story if you take it seriously. Sixth tier team Stab have been disqualified from the Coupe de France. They arrived at their match against, Vabre-le-Bay, 50 minutes late, which, you know, we approve of being on time and things like this. But the idea is that they put the bloody wrong destination into the sat nav.
Well, they didn't. The coach driver did, didn't he? He mistyped the destination.
Okay, but as discussed with the, you know, penalties and all that sort of stuff, it's not, we don't pick on individuals in football anymore.
I think in this instance, you can very much pick on one individual.
Because that's his
profession. Yeah, because he got them kicked out of a car. Can you imagine the feeling as it dawned on the driver?
Oh.
Did you think he admitted it straight away or just tried to like, oh, the traffic's been mad. I've had to go a really weird route, but oh, I'll just get you there as soon as I can. Oh, the bloody roads.
I remember getting hooked at halftime in a Sunday league game once and having to ref the second half because the officials didn't turn up. And I realised about 15 minutes into the second half that I hadn't actually put my watch back on. And so I managed to, while the ball was at one end of the pitch, jog over to the side, just sneak my watch out of my bag. And I estimated what was the time left. I mean, everyone was absolutely on their asses by the end. They could play like a 55-minute second half.
Andy Brassel, ladies and gentlemen, a man without a conscience. when you talk about this route, Jim, they ended up 90 kilometres away in a place called Vabre. Apologies for my terrible attempt at French accent. So the place they were supposed to be going to was Vabre-le-Bay, and they went to Vabre.
We've all done it.
We've all done it. Vabre-le-Bay saw their opponents running towards the ground at what would have been half time.
Which must have made it look like they travelled on foot.
Oh, what, like a big warm up?
Yeah, like there wasn't. Well,
we were in a traffic jam.
Yeah, like.
We were in a traffic jam in rural France. Yeah,
so we ran from our.
We've sacked our coach driver. We decided we're better off on foot.
You see, I thought this would just be a nice story at that sort of, you know, amateur level. But it turns out there's no fun in amateur football anymore.
I feel like if they had an advantage there, if they'd been screaming as they'd arrived, that would have really intimidated their opponents. But it didn't matter because they got kicked out.
Also,
if
you turn up 50 minutes late and you're on foot, you're not going to win, are you?
No, maybe not. You're going to get kicked out, it turns out.
Well, look, commiserations anyway, Tob. Sorry about that. Sounds as though you would have lost anyway per gym, so never mind. Remember, if you want even more from us, then get over to our Patreon where you can get bonus podcast episodes. There's also ad-free rambles. Go to patreon.com/footballramble to get involved. That's it from us today. Say goodbye, Andy Brassel.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Jim Campbell.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Football Ramble, part of the Acast Creator Network. We'll see you tomorrow. Bollocks. Jules, Vish and Andy are on the show.
Keep it in. Do it like that. Oh, God.
The Football Ramble is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember. Yeah,
you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know.
And on my way around to Duck.
So if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Want to join a film club that has real frank discussions, talking about films that you actually want to watch?
Well, then look no further, because we are Frank Film Club with me, Maisie Williams. And each week we watch a film and then come together and obsess over it, or sometimes absolutely slate it. Either way, there's always a lot to say. And the films that we pick range all the way from like 90s and noughties classics all the way up to new releases that are coming out every single week. And sometimes we get our listeners to pick for us.
And we all work in the film industry, don't we, ladies?
Indeed.
So we really love to look at specifically how a film was made.
So if this sounds like your bag, then come and have a listen to Frank Film Club. And remember, absolutely everyone is welcome in this club.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.